Good evening again, everyone. If you've got a Bible with you, if you want to turn to 1 John, and we'll be looking at some verses in chapter 1 of 1 John. I'm just going to pray and ask for God's blessing on his word this evening. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, I ask, Lord, please, that you would anoint your word tonight, that your word, Lord God, would do its work, and that people, Lord God, would be spoken to tonight by the living and powerful, active Word of God. Lord, I pray that my opinions and my views and my thoughts would in no way mar what you want to say, but that your Word, Lord God, would do its work and triumph tonight, all to the glory of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. As I said at the start, we've only four Sundays left in our series, Watch Out, There's a Thief About, Is Satan Robbing You? And the whole point of the series, as I've already said, the message highlights the reality of Satan and his intense hatred of God. Satan's revulsion of God and godliness, and don't ever underestimate this, Satan despises God and anything to do with God. His revulsion of God and godliness is manifested by his ceaseless thievery, robbing God of glory at every opportunity and in every conceivable way. Well, I mentioned this morning how the Westminster Confession of Faith, the Shorter Catechism, begins with the question, what is man's chief end? Meaning, what is the fundamental purpose of men and women on this earth? And, you know, people who phone suicide lines and all of those types of places, who go to the Samaritans and places like that, they often go there because they can't find a purpose in life. They can't find a reason for going on. And for many of those people, it's because they've never actually recognized why they're on planet Earth at all. What is man's chief end? Why have I been brought into this world? I wonder tonight if people in this room tonight, this hall tonight, have ever asked that question. Why have I been brought into this world? Why was I ever born? What is my purpose? Why am I here? Many people go through life never fully comprehending why they are here. What is man's chief end? Well, the answer, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Glorifying God and enjoying him forever is not a person's only purpose in life, but it must be their priority. It must be their number one objective. Now, let me put this clearly. Your purpose tonight is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And if that is not your number one purpose, you are being robbed of by Satan, and you are robbing God of glory. Nothing must stand in the way of seeking to glorify God. Even Jesus taught this when he said, anyone who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. This wasn't Jesus saying, oh, I want you to love me and forget about your mum and dad. That's not what he's saying. Anyone who loves father and mother or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. What Jesus is saying is God must come first. He's not saying you shouldn't love your mum and your dad and your sons and your daughters, but he says God must come first. God and the glory of God must be every person's chief aim in life. That's why you and I came into this world, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. However, because Satan robbed God of glory by deceiving Eve and Adam, the parents of us all, causing them to rebel against God, no human can by their own efforts glorify God or by self-effort enjoy God forever. In other words, because of sin, and the Bible says all of us are sinners, there's nothing that any man or woman can do to glorify God or enable us to enjoy him in this life or in the world to come. sin, which we all have, gives us an unnatural inclination to defy God and follow our own ways, thus robbing God of glory, and brings us under His righteous judgment. So tonight, I want to look at another way that Satan robs God of glory, by robbing us. That very often when Satan is robbing God of glory, he does it by robbing first God's people, and by robbing then unbelievers. And so tonight I want to look at another way that Satan robs God of glory by robbing us. I said a moment ago, because of sin, we are all sinners. There's nothing any of us can do to glorify God or enable us to enjoy Him in this life or in the world to come. Now, some people might protest and have the brass neck to disagree with what I've just said, perhaps considering themselves not to be sinners. You know, I know some good people. And if you said to you, you're a sinner and you're depraved and you're in a fallen state before the Holy God, they would, how dare you? Don't ever come back to my house. You know, they'd be horrified if you said stuff like that to them. There are some people who have the brass neck to not believe what God says. And they would not consider themselves sinners at all, even though it is God's word, not Taddy Gordon, it is God's word that is clear on the matter. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is no exceptions. God didn't make a mistake. For all have sinned, except for Tommy Crawford. He didn't say, for all have sinned, except for Taylor. He says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means every one of us, no exceptions. Let's read together in 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to be reading from verses 5 through to 10. 1 John 1 verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Tonight I want to ask you a question. Have you ever considered the question of conscience and why we all have one? Conscience is a person's moral sense of right and wrong, and it guides our behaviors. It is a moral code that is fashioned and developed throughout life. Conscience can be finely tuned, or it can be seared to the point we accept right as wrong and wrong as right. I remember, and I've told this story before, speaking to a man who, during the Troubles, murdered quite a number of people. And he told me how, when he killed the first person, he said that he couldn't cope with it for a week. He couldn't sleep. He was tortured in his mind. He could get no rest whatsoever. It was terrible. And what he did was just kept drinking and drinking to drown it out. But he says when he shot the second person, it wasn't just as bad. When he got to his third and his fourth and his fifth, he said it just became simple to do. He had seared his conscience. Conscience can be finely tuned or seared to the point that we accept right as wrong and wrong as right. Some consciences are so overly sensitive, or they are so calloused, that wrong doesn't affect it. So take, for example, take the deaths of the three teenagers at the St. Patrick's celebration in Cookstown. When you heard that on the news, how did you react? I felt it was tragic. I felt it was very, very sad for the family and all involved, and I felt it was unfair. My conscience said it was wrong. We all say, surely parents shouldn't have to bury their children. And yet those parents have had to do that, and it's tragic. And we pray for those families that God will give them strength and help at this time. Or what of the news of the 50 people who were gunned down in the mosques in New Zealand? What did your conscience tell you about this? When I mean that, what was the first thing that came in to your head? Was this right? I mean, they're only Muslims. Or was it wrong? My conscience told me this was wrong. You see, it mattered not whether they were Muslims or Hindustanis or anything else. They were human beings made in the image and likeness of God. My conscience told me it was wrong. What did your conscience tell you at the time? Or what about the cyclone that hit Mozambique and has killed upwards of 500 people? I mean, it's far away. It doesn't really affect us. What did your conscience tell you? Was it right? Or was it wrong? We've no control over the elements. But nonetheless, we still know these are people who are losing their lives. Do you know, I hope and pray that we can still look at events such as these and believe somehow inside of us, this isn't right. And it's not right. This is what sin has done. Sin coming into the world has brought death and destruction. I hope we can look at things like this and believe that they're wrong. If not, there's something askew with your conscience, askew with your moral sense of right and wrong. But I want to put your conscience to test a wee bit closer to home tonight. And I don't want anybody to shout out any answers or any opinions as I go through this, but it's a test of your conscience. British soldiers, following orders by their command, on Bloody Sunday, killed 13 people. Should they be charged with murder? IRA terrorists are given PSNI letters of immunity. Should these letters protect them from justice? Should illegal immigrants be sent back home to their own country, even if their country is war-torn? 200,000 abortions are carried out each year in the United Kingdom for convenience sake. Is it right or wrong? I think it's safe to say not everyone here tonight or watching in on Facebook or listening to the podcast would agree on these matters. Conscience is a person's moral sense of right and wrong. It can be finely tuned or it can be seared so that we accept right as wrong and wrong as right. Some consciences, as I've said, are overly sensitive or they're so calloused that wrong doesn't affect it. Remember, our moral compass and the image of God in us, the image of God in which we were made, is marred by sin. And conscience is another area where Satan robs God of glory and robs us. Do you know, for example, that if you go against your conscience, you have committed sin? Conscience is another area where sin robs God of glory and robs us. Because of sin, our consciences can be askew. They're particularly askew as far as God's word is concerned. Satan, the thief and liar who comes to steal, kill and destroy, works to sear our consciences against God and against the word of God. So let me put this to the test tonight to show you what I mean. I'll make it clear again. Satan, who is the thief and the liar, who comes to steal, kill and destroy, works to sear our consciences against God and His Word. God's Word says in 1 John chapter 1, If we say we have fellowship with Him, if we say we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. In other words, if we call ourselves Christians but keep willfully sinning, walking in the ways of the world, we are lying to ourselves and we're not practicing the truth of God's word. If not practicing the truth of God's word, we're believing the lies of the devil. What does your conscience say? Does it align with God's word? If it doesn't, your conscience is askew, and Satan is robbing God of glory by robbing you tonight. Listen again. If we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the word of God. In other words, if we call ourselves Christians, but we keep willfully sinning, intentionally sinning, making light of sin, walking in the ways of the world, and we're lying to ourselves and we're not practicing the truth, Satan is robbing God of glory by robbing you. John also says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Hear that? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say we haven't sinned, we make God a liar and His word isn't in us. In other words, if we say we're not Christians, we don't need to be saved, we're lying to ourselves and we're making God out to be a liar. What does your conscience tell you tonight? Does it align with God's word? If not, your conscience is askew and Satan is robbing God of glory by robbing you. Would you dare make God out a liar? Would you dare tell God He's a liar when He tells you you're a sinner and you need to be saved? If we say that we have no sin, I'm not a sinner. We deceive ourselves. The devil is deceiving us and we buy the lie. That's what it means. We buy his lie. We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And believe me, it is only the truth that can set you free tonight. If we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar. And His word isn't in us. Conscience is a person's moral sense of right and wrong. Yes, it can be finely tuned, or it can be seared, so we accept right as wrong and wrong as right. Some consciences, as I said, are so overly sensitive or they're so calloused that wrong doesn't affect it. However, because we've been made to glorify God and enjoy Him forever, our consciences must, please hear this tonight, because we have been made to glorify God and enjoy Him forever, our consciences must align with God's Word. It must align with God's truth. Failure to do so is sin. Satan aims to ensure our consciences don't align with God and His Word, because he aims to rob God of glory and rob us of the blessings of God. And yet, no person, no human being can by themselves glorify God or by self-effort enjoy Him forever. We need the Holy Spirit of God to enable us to do this. Without His help, we would all still be under God's righteous judgment, because all of our consciences would be completely seared. And so tonight, Christian, let me just say, if you're a Christian who says, I have fellowship with God, and you're walking in darkness, you're lying to yourself, and you're believing the lies of the devil. That is what God's Word says. You do not practice the truth. However, if you're a Christian who says you have fellowship with God, and even though you're conscious of your sin all day long, but your heart is right before God as you cry out, Lord, I want holiness. I want to walk in the ways of the Lord. I want to serve and honor you. I want to glorify you. Lord, when I sin against you, I break my heart and I pray that you would cleanse me from my sins so that I could keep pressing on, pressing myself into you. If you're a Christian like that who has a relationship with God, then you really do have fellowship with God and you're walking in the light and you're practicing the truth. You see, God doesn't say to those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to free you from your sins once and for all right now. You live in a sin-cursed body and a sin-cursed world, and you'll continue to live in that sin-cursed body and this sin-cursed world until the Lord calls you home. But He promises you there's a day fixed for you when sin will no longer have any effect upon you. Because you're walking in the truth. You're walking in the light. You're walking with a heart that says, Lord, even though I am overwhelmed by sin, I'm looking to Jesus. I'm looking to serve the Lord. Christian, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. But does your conscience align with God's Word? If not, then your conscience is askew. Satan is robbing God of glory and robbing you of God's blessings. Ask God, Christian, ask God to align your conscience with His Word and His ways, and He will be glorified indeed. Maybe tonight there's someone here, someone watching on Facebook, someone listening to our podcast, and you're not yet a Christian, you haven't given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I will say the same to you. Conscience is your moral sense of right and wrong, and acts as a guide to your behavior. It's your moral code, fashioned and developed throughout your life. It can be finely tuned or seared so that you can accept right as wrong or wrong as right. Your conscience tonight can be overly sensitive, or maybe it's so calloused that wrong just doesn't affect you anymore. Well, just as a final test tonight, let me put this to you, the unbeliever. Let me put this to you who is not a Christian tonight. God's Word says you are a sinner and you are heading to destruction. The Bible calls it hell. God's Word says, because he loved you, he sent his son Jesus to die to save you. God's word says, unless you confess your sins, unless you repent and believe in Jesus, you are going to perish. What does your conscience say to you tonight? Does it align with God's word? Does it agree with God's word tonight? If so, you must act tonight. You must do what God's word says. Confess your sins, repent of your sins, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If not, then your conscience is askew, and each day Satan is searing it and searing it and searing it to the point where you will not hear the Spirit of God call you to repentance, and you will go to destruction with your fingers in your ears and will be in eternity without Christ. Please tonight believe God's word, repent, and put your trust in Jesus. If not, your conscience is askew. Satan is robbing God, and Satan is robbing you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that each of us have been given a conscience. And I know, Lord God, that we form our consciences, Lord God, by our environments and by laws and the rights and wrongs that we're taught, Lord God. And some of us are even taught wrong things and we grew up, Lord God, and learn the right ways. But Lord, tonight, a conscience also reminds us that there is a day of judgment coming. There is a day of accountability when we all must stand before Almighty God to give account. Thank you that those who know and love you, those who have put their trust in Jesus, who are walking in the light, have no fear of judgment, Lord, because Christ has paid our debt in full. But help us, Lord, please, that even though we live in this sin-cursed world, in these sin-cursed bodies, and we are at times overwhelmed by sin, help us to press ourselves into you. Help us to walk, Lord God, with hearts that desire holiness, that put away sin, Lord God, and want to serve and honor you faithfully and obediently. Help us, Lord, to trust in you, that one day we shall be free from this sin-cursed world, free from this sin-cursed body, and we shall enter into the joy of the Lord. And what a wonderful and glorious day that will be when we see Jesus face to face. But Lord, tonight we pray for those backsliders, Lord God. Children of God who have chosen, Lord God, to allow their conscience to be askewed, Lord God, by believing the lies of the devil. And they've turned away from your love, Lord God. They've turned away from your word and your ways. We ask tonight, Lord, please, that the Spirit of God would convict their consciences, Lord, please, and bring them back, Lord God, with cords of love unto yourself. That you would restore them, Lord, please. That they would see that the world and all of its ways and the fleeting pleasures of sin, Lord God, bring no lasting joy. But may you, Lord God, grant to them a restoration of the joy of your salvation, Lord, please. And we pray tonight, Father, for any unbeliever watching in, Lord God, or listening in, any who are here, Lord God, that don't know you, we ask, please, that you would show them, Lord, that their conscience is askew, that Satan is robbing God and robbing them because, Lord God, they're believing his lies. Please, Father God, help them to know the truth, so that the truth will set them free. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.